That's the blues for Brother George Jackson, Archie Shepp. And I think we're joining now by Christopher Black. Are you there, Chris?
Yeah, hi, fellas. Good to be with you again.
Thank you for being with us. You've written a great article in the New Eastern Outlook. I hope everybody turns to that. It's titled China and the Zombies of the Past. And I really like the title because you're the one who can explain to me this strange thing I've been noticing. The Globe has been preventing me from seeing Globestar and others haven't really been sharing the photos, all the photos coming from Hong Kong. But the one that got me, well, many get me, but they went into the demonstrators in Hong Kong, took a British flag and took it into their seat of government and displayed it proudly. And then they also, I saw a picture of them, and they went to great trouble to line up almost like military style, and they all had American flags. And
right.
One of them held a sign that said, Trump, liberate Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Here's the question. They say the Globestar, everybody else has agreed on the company term, they're pro-democracy. Can you tell me... What did British were there for a while, and was that a democracy? That's why they brought that flag, is because they had democracy under the British?
No, I mean under the rule of London, every official was appointed from London and sent in, but to London they were all British officials. There was no democracy, and the people had no choice in anything, even including local administration. In fact, I understand that the judges who operate in Hong Kong right now are also British.
Yeah.
They're allowed to stay in after Britain left and let China resume sovereignty over the city. So no, they never had democracy of any sort whatsoever. But that's not the point. To be quite clear now that these black shirts have not only carried British and American flag, but are openly calling for the overthrow of the Communist Party in China.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just for democracy. They're for overthrowing democracy in China and restoring imperial rule from the outside, across the entire country.
Yeah, this is Christopher Black, my international lawyer. He's also the author of a novel and writes regularly at the New Eastern Outlook, where his article appeared. You use the term hybrid war.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, in other words, the picture you have is that this is kind of a long-term strategy with various parts to it, right?
Right. Yeah. If you look at what's going on with China in the last 10 years since Obama instituted what he called the pivot to the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
and made a massive shift of military resources to Guam and other places in the Pacific and Korea and so on. It's quite clear that they've decided to contain or break up China or control it in some way. But it looks like overt war now, because now they've started the tariff war, which is really nothing more than sanctions or trade war in other guise.
Mm-hmm.
They sell billions of weapons, F-16s, to Taiwan, which is a Chinese province, which in opposition to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
They're regularly sailing ships into the Taiwan Strait, declaring basically that Taiwan is their protectorate. Again, it's an attack on Chinese sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
They're threatening China with ships and surveillance aircraft all the time. They've arrested Meng Wanzhou to cripple, and they've tried to stop Huawei in other ways from trading, operating around the world. And now we're seeing that they've trying to institute an insurrection in the Chinese city.
Mm-hmm.
So this is hybrid war. This is what you call hybrid war. Use every aspect of society, propaganda, to try and overthrow the enemy, or the opposition, an enemy. They're obviously Chinese considered an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's Christopher Black. And Chris, you point out that, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's important if people would just see some fundamental things. There is an organization called, the National Endowment for Democracy.
Right.
Which actually provides funds for organizations, and you list some, the Hong Kong Bar Association.
Yes.
Other groups. They get, these are who is the National Endowment for Democracy?
Right.
And isn't that, I mean, that is gross interference in internal affairs of China.
Right. The National, the NED is a branch of the American government. It's an American government department. It now carries out overtly what the CIA departments used to carry out covertly. It overtly supplies, creates NGOs in countries they want to disrupt, sends over people, it recruits local people that they can co-opt and manipulate and want all sorts of things they can give them. So the NED is an organization which is created to subvert foreign nations in any way when they oppose American interests, and that's what's going on here. In fact, all the leaders of these protests, of these black shirts, openly brag about the fact that they are supported by the NED, by the Americans, by the British, and have connections. I think Stephen Kwok, who's one of the lawyers, maybe I'm mistaken, but one of them has been invited to speak before the National Security Council. I mean, you can't get, it's like somebody saying, I worked for the KGB in the old days. So these people are were active agents of the West inside China. And there's an interesting article in, I recommend to people, in German Foreign Policy, where they state that one of the factors involved in this is the fact that Chinese control rare earths, which are important in all sorts of electronics and military hardware, and that the attempt by the Americans and Germans and British to find other resources for rare earth, because I think China supplies 80 to 90% of that around the world, is a forerunner for a war, that they want to find another supply because they intend to attack China, and that would cut off the supply. And that's partly what prompts, I think, Trump's bid to laughable bid, some people think, but maybe serious, to try and seize Greenland, because it is known to have these rare earths.
And you underline in the article, and it's so important, that this matter is really an internal matter to China. This has been settled a long time ago. There is a thing called the Basic Law that came into effect in 1997, with all parties, and U.S. and Britain, signed on.
Yes.
And so tell us about that, and what did the Basic Law say?
Well, the Basic Law is very interesting, because when the British Empire fell apart and China became a rising power again, it became one of the dominant points of sovereignty to regain sovereignty over China for the Chinese. Now, so during the negotiations in the 1980s, the local Chinese who were used to a capitalist system in Hong Kong insisted on maintaining that, and the Chinese didn't want to. But finally, to get rid of the British, they agreed. So that the British left Hong Kong and the Chinese government took over, but kept the capitalist system intact in that city and created a special administration region to govern that. But people have to understand that the Chinese insisted all through the negotiations that Hong Kong was never a colony, because a colony is something created by, say, Britain or some other European country or the America, in a disorganized, unorganized territory. Maybe have indigenous people, but no organized state existed there, which is what happened in Canada, United States, other places. But Hong Kong was never a disorganized or unorganized territory. It's part of the Chinese system, part of China proper, all the time, for hundreds and thousands of years. So when during the Opium War, when the British seized it and China were forced to let them occupy the territory, it became an occupied territory of China. And the Chinese insisted all through the negotiations that Hong Kong was an occupied territory of China. It was never a colony, which Britain is now ceding over to China. But the protesters, so-called, keep insisting that somehow Hong Kong is a separate entity from China. It is not. It's just a Chinese city in China. And there's an insurrection taking place in the Chinese city. It has no special status, except for the fact that that economic zone was kept as a capitalist zone. In fact, there's some free trade zones existing even in North Korea like that. But Hong Kong is not an entity which they can claim should be separate from China, which is what they're trying to do. They're trying to either separate Hong Kong and establish a separate state there, like Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, they're going to try and use it as a base to infiltrate mainland China, rest of China, and try and bring down the communist government and install a government which the Americans
Something that they have actually been doing for a long time, have they not? I mean,
right.
I can recall the so-called Tiananmen events, which have also been totally lied about and misrepresented here. To the point where it's just a total legend. But in Hong Kong at that time, that was the home base for a lot of the people who were trying to disrupt the Chinese government at that time.
Right, right. And we have to remember that in the 60s, I think in 1960s there was an attempt by Chinese in Hong Kong to kick the British out, or to bring some sort of democracy, and they were suppressed with extreme violence. People were shot down.
Yes, I saw.
People were beaten up and shot.
Yeah, I saw a number. I think it was 65 people were killed.
Yeah. Yes, so I mean the Chinese are trying to use all the restraint they can in the face of
But they are showing tremendous restraint, in my opinion. Have you noticed that there's a kind of a whine coming from the New York Times and the Washington Post, desperately trying to find blood? I mean, they really, like they said, that over the weekend, one Chinese police officer fired one shot in the air, and that becomes, you know... My goodness, it's almost like this. What is it, like Los Angeles, Chicago?
Yeah.
Did I leave somebody out? Atlanta, New York, Pittsburgh, where police officers get their guns out? But also, the New York Times and the Star recarried it, had a whole long story about, gee, if they're using tear gas, somebody could actually be hurt.
Right, and there's no coverage of the use of tear gas every day in Paris and other cities in France.
Where people lost their eyes, their hands, and hospital.
Oh, there was nothing about the G20 protests in Montreal where they used tear gas against students in Montreal a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Parkinson, and we know what happens in the United States if students or protesters were trying to overthrow the government, the existing government of the United States, and attacking policemen with firebombs and trying to kill them. Mm-hmm. They would be shot down pretty rapidly.
Well,
we saw the riots in London a few years ago, where they brought out, they read the Riot Act, and they used extreme violence to suppress those riots.
United States had Kent State, Jackson State,
various
other places.
Well, they shot students down there.
Yeah. Now, and of course, add in this an American council person, a representative in Hong Kong. There's a picture of her with the leaders of these movements, and the American media said, "Oh, they named her. It's said personal things about her." Well, what is she doing, meeting with the people who are engaging in illegal activity, throwing bricks at the Chinese police?
Yeah, well, it shows their arrogance that they're so openly doing it, and then if you mention it, they get angry that you mentioned it.
Let's not be personal. Well, I would solve that. The Chinese government could expel her. You remember Lester Pearson? Charles de Gaulle gave a little speech in Quebec. He said, "Vive Quebec libre," and he was ordered to leave that night.
That's right. Yeah, Canada wouldn't tolerate
the
that.
World War II ally, Charles de Gaulle, for saying "Vive Quebec libre," was ordered out of the country.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's what's going on is very dangerous because the Chinese, I mean, if you read the Global Times, which have been the editorials there, which basically, well, we take it, speak for the Chinese government in some way, have stated time and time again the last 2 weeks that if these protests get out of hand, the army is ready to step in. If the garrison in Hong Kong is not just a paper tiger, they will act if necessary, but they're trying not to act, trying to just use the police force, but they're getting so the Americans seem to be pushing these people to provoke the police forces as much as possible to try and get a strong armed reaction from the central government. They will use the propaganda again. So the Chinese have little choice.
Yeah, you point out there's also look at the incitement from Ted Cruz, United States Senator. He introduced a resolution, the Hong Kong Revaluation Act, which I assume he just wants to kick over the table and say we start all over.
Right. Well, the importance of that is that Hong Kong, when it was with Britain, had a special trade status with the United States and other Western countries, so it had favorable trade status. And it's kept that. The Americans kept that, but they said they passed a law saying that if Hong Kong, the government of Hong Kong, is not run the way they would like it, then they can retract that special trade status. And since Hong Kong is still a conduit for lots of money and investment into China generally, if they withdrew that favored status, it would harm China's economy in a big way. So that's what they're threatening to do. And in fact, the people, these protesters, have asked the American government to do exactly that. So they're not concerned about the people of Hong Kong at all.
We're speaking to Christopher Black. The article, by the way, is in New Eastern Outlook: China and the Zombies of the Past. I like the term "zombies of the past." Your conclusion is, by the way, that for all the noise and that actually China is handling it well. They're actually handling the U.S. rather well. And what they've put together there will probably stand up against this the other paper tiger, or the real paper tiger.
Right, and the Chinese have said, we don't care what you think. It's irrelevant what the Americans think or the British think about what we're going to do. But if this gets out of hand, we will act. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lose Hong Kong, and nobody's going to push us around. Mm-hmm. We hope not to have to use that, but if they push us, the push comes to shove, they will act. So I don't think China, but it will damage China, but China is prepared to obviously to absorb the blow.
Yeah. Well, by the way, the way they're damaging China is the sort of tempted into a struggle where the U.S. is definitely going to be damaged.
Well, you see that already. The farmers and manufacturers, a group of manufacturers complained to Trump that his policies are devastating certain sectors of the American economy. And China now has raised tariffs on various things in American products and threatened to do more in retaliation. The Chinese say, we have, in a recent article, they said, we have a billion people, we have a great market here, we can sustain ourselves in our local market. We don't need you.
Yeah, and it's got.
But we can destroy you, so back off. But Trump and the Americans, well, it's not just Trump, I think, because Obama started this.
Yeah.
The push.
You're right. I'm very glad you reminded everybody that this Obama's term, the basketball term, a pivot towards China. Mm-hmm. Which was, that was calling them out for face down of some type. There really isn't that great difference. I haven't seen the Democrats complaining. Sometimes they even say, oh, you're not tough enough.
That's basically it, right? The Democrats don't complain. All they complain about is he's not tough enough.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
Well, Chris,
but I'm sure China will survive this, but where the America will, that's another issue.
Well, it's the Middle Kingdom. It can't go anywhere. It'll be there. Chris, thank you very, very much. It's a great article. I hope everybody turns to it. And we'd like.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report. We're on Facebook. We are on SoundCloud. And you can find us, of course, CIUT.FM, the sound of your city. Mick has done a great job, as usual. And Phil Conlon is here. And thank you, guys. And we'll see you next week.